With Montana News, I'm Rosie Costin. Last month's harsh winter weather has delayed a pilot project that aims to stop the rise of toxic water in Butte's Berkeley Pit. Mark Thompson of Montana Resources told the Montana Standard the mining pit is still frozen over, construction is slowed, and the project to treat and discharge the water isn't expected to begin until June. The Environmental Protection Agency originally set 2023 as the target date to begin pumping and treating before the water in the pit reaches a critical level. Montana Resources wants to start early with a pilot project that was originally slated for the end of last year, but has now been delayed twice. Atlantic Richfield Company has said a polishing plant that will be part of the water treatment process won't be complete until mid-2019. The operator of a leading neo-Nazi website claims it's too dangerous for him to travel to the U.S. to be questioned under oath for a lawsuit accusing him of terrorizing a Montana real estate agent's family. Attorneys for the Daily Stormer founder, Andrew Anglin, have asked a federal judge for an order excusing him from an in-person deposition in the U.S. Anglin's lawyers insist the Ohio native hasn't lived in the U.S. for years and fears for his safety if his whereabouts are disclosed. Tanya Gersh's lawyers say Anglin's request is baseless and fits a pattern of gamesmanship. Gersh's lawsuit claims anonymous internet trolls bombarded her family with hateful and threatening messages after Anglin published their personal information. State legislators are considering giving counties greater powers for managing aquatic invasive species. Nikki Willett reports.
House Bill 402 would allow counties to adopt local ordinances aimed at preventing the spread of aquatic invasive species, levy taxes for vertebrate and invertebrate pest management, and allow counties within the Columbia River Basin to quarantine lakes. Representative Greg Hertz, a Republican from Polson, is carrying the bill on behalf of the Montana Association of Counties. William Barron is the former executive director of MACO. He was one of eight people who spoke in favor of the bill at a House Natural Resources Committee hearing Wednesday.
Gives us a little bit of local control, and it doesn't cost the state a dime.
A representative from Montana Fish, Wildlife, and Parks also spoke in favor. Six groups expressed support for increasing local enforcement of AIS rules, but opposed lumping waterborne pests together with land-based invasive species when it comes to the bill's optional tax. The tax would fall on certain land types most likely to be impacted by invasive species. Liv Stavick is with the Montana Farm Bureau.
It does not make sense to tax ag land for AIS prevention.
Bill sponsor Greg Hertz said he'd look into questions about the tax and the possibility of penalties being doubly imposed before the bill's next reading. The committee took no action on the bill Wednesday, but did pass House Bill 608 on for a full House vote. 608 would require mandatory decontaminations for all wakeboard-style boats. I'm Nikki Willett, Montana Public Radio.
A judge has blocked a project that called for logging and prescribed burning in the Elkhorn Mountains near Townsend. U.S. District Judge Susan Waters on Tuesday ruled in favor of two conservation groups that sued to stop the project to cut conifer trees on 7 square miles and burn another 2 square miles. It also called for allowing livestock grazing when other grazing allotments are unavailable. Waters sided with the group's argument that the U.S. Bureau of Land Management failed to completely analyze the cumulative effects of the project, along with others in the area. She ordered the BLM to prepare a supplemental environmental analysis. A federal appeals court has blocked a western Montana logging project while it considers a lawsuit that claims the project could harm threatened species. The 9th U.S. Circuit Court of Appeals yesterday granted an injunction to the conservation groups that requested the Glacier Loon project near Condon be halted. The groups say the project includes logging, building new temporary roads, and reopening previously closed roads. They say the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service didn't properly analyze the project's potential harm to threatened grizzly bears and the habitat of wolverines and threatened Canada lynx. Attorneys representing the U.S. Forest Service say the project would reduce wildfire threats. A bill moving through the legislature would allow microdistilleries to increase their alcohol production and still keep their tasting rooms. UM Legislative News Service's Tim Pierce reports.
Under current law, distilleries can't produce more than 25,000 gallons of liquor and have a tasting room. Senate Bill 182 would change that cap to 200,000 proof gallons, which is a gallon with 50% alcohol. President of the Montana Distillers Guild, Robin Blazer, supported the bill at its public hearing Thursday.
We would hate for Montana's distilleries and manufacturers to be left behind in this very, very exciting time of growth.
Jeff Drogue owns Dry Hills Distillery near Bozeman, one of the 17 micro-distilleries in the state. He says in order to expand his business, he'd have to either open another distillery or close his tasting room.
It's a direct loss of jobs. People rely on us on a daily basis to be able to pay their monthly rent.
The bill passed the Senate with a vote of 43-7.
That's Tim Pierce with the Legislative News Service.
With Montana News, I'm Edward O'Brien. Now that industrial hemp is again legal to produce thanks to the federal 2018 Farm Bill, the Montana Department of Agriculture has set up a committee to help producers research and market the crop. The first ever Montana Hemp Advisory Committee is set to hold its inaugural meeting April 3rd in Helena. That announcement Thursday from Montana Department of Agriculture Director Ben Thomas.
When I held listening sessions in Sydney and Helena, we had very good attendance, and there was actually a 100% vote at both meetings to proceed with forming this committee. There definitely is a lot of interest out there, and I'm excited about it.
Hemp is a hardy crop that can be used in a variety of products, from fiber to food to pharmaceuticals. Many Montana farmers are also paying close attention to the popular and lucrative hemp-derived CBD market. CBD advocates say the extract can treat a variety of ailments. Skeptics counter that more research is needed. The new Hemp Advisory Committee will advise state ag department officials on various issues, including creation of a Montana Hemp Checkoff program.
So they get together and say, let's tax ourselves, pool that money, and invest in marketing, research, and education. This is a way producers can get together, organize their resources, and advance their industry.
Thomas recently appointed 9 people to the Hemp Advisory Committee, representing large and small-scale hemp producers from across the state. Thomas acknowledges excitement about Montana's newest crop, but urges interested producers to take a cautious approach in these early days.
In previous years, only a handful of states were growing hemp. Every year, we have more and more states dipping their toes in. There is the possibility of oversupply. Another big concern is companies out there who are buying hemp are not the same companies that would buy wheat or chickpeas from you. These are companies that aren't really, quite frankly, that experienced in agriculture, and there are different risks there.
Thomas urges hemp producers with any questions to reach out to the Montana Agriculture Department for help. Edward O'Brien, Montana Public Radio.